ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khoneni?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Uhamba imali?
Wizi nake ihloka challenge.
Awuna moto? Imali. Kufanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Sebenza. Sebenza.
Yeva mntanami.
Sebenza.
Welcome back to Sebenza Live, the podcast where we give you the behind the scenes into the daily hustles of many business people. Ntokoza, how are you today?
I'm awesome, and yourself?
I'm great. Yes. Today we are Skype calling a very special guest of ours. Nicholas, how are you?
All the way from the UK.
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's jump into what you do. Who is Nicholas and what makes you tick?
Well, I'm a former journalist. For a Gabonese media called Gabonews. I spent the last 12 years building a company called APO Group, which is a media relation consultancy and press release distribution service. Our main markets are Africa and the Middle East. I'm deeply involved in that company. I just moved from the position of CEO to chairman a few months ago.
Now, what sparked your particular interest in journalism? It's quite the career to pick.
Well, I was curious. I feel that the position of journalist, the profession of journalist, was perfect for me because it was perfect to somebody which wants to ask questions, which is curious about the world and what is happening in the world. And when you are a journalist, you can ask questions to basically everybody, and everybody will answer to it. So if you are curious, I think it's a perfect job. Most people in their life, in their daily life, working life, they will go out from school, straight out of school. They will go for a job, and they're gonna spend 30 years working, doing basically the same thing. Maybe each 10 years they're gonna learn about the new software, etc. But basically their life will be all the same. When you're a journalist, on Monday you can work on technology, on Sunday you can work on health, on the following day you can work on other stuff, and so you can cover a lot of industry. You can also access a lot of people, questions to very prominent people. I've been very lucky to interview head of states, big entrepreneurs, personalities, etc. So I think what I saw here is that it was the perfect job for me, because it was allowing me to grow, learn a lot, and learn mostly from other people. Again, I strongly believe journalism is one of the only jobs where you can actually ask questions to a lot of people and they will actually answer to you.
And now this also inspired you to sort of start APO. Now, how did that begin? Let's go back to that day when you went, this is definitely what I need to start doing for my career.
Well, APO first of all, I didn't start at APO as a business at all. The point wasn't at all to make money or to make a business out of it or to make a living out of it. Absolutely not. As I said, I was a journalist. I was a correspondent in Europe for an African media called Gabonews. As a correspondent in Europe, one of the things I wanted to do was to receive as many press releases as possible, as many news releases as possible from European based institutions, etc. And so it was back in 2005. So I started to subscribe to all these websites and all these institutions and organizations. I'm talking about obviously the European Commission, but also the United Nations system, and also the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of France, Ministry of Foreign Affairs of UK, Germany, etc. And I quickly realized that it was extremely difficult actually to subscribe and to receive all this press releases, all that content. It was taking me days to make phone calls and try to understand how I could receive that content and to reach the right person, to be on the right media list, etc., etc. And so I realized that if it was as difficult as that for me as a journalist in Europe to receive all these press releases. The question I asked myself was, okay, well then, are the press releases issued by the African, Pan-African institution, and I'm thinking about the African Union Commission, I'm thinking about the African Development Bank, I'm thinking about the Pan-African Parliament. Are those press releases reaching the international media community? In other words, are we sure those press releases from the, which are the voice of the continent, the press release of the African Development Bank, African Commission, are we actually sure those press releases are reaching the journalists all across the world? So I did a test. I actually tried to subscribe to the press releases from the African institution, also regional organization like the, I don't want to mention names, but we have a lot of institutions in Africa. And I quickly realized that it was even more difficult to receive the press releases issued by African and Pan-African institutions than to receive the press release from European-based institutions, which means basically that the international media, most of the international media, were not receiving the press releases issued by the African institution, and that was really a concern. While I was thinking about that, I had a series of meetings with the president of the African Development Bank at the time, Donald Kaberuka, which explained to me how. So again, it was in 2006-07, and Donald Kaberuka explained to me how actually the dissemination of information about Africa actually contribute to the development of the continent. In other words, we were at a time where everybody was talking about Africa as the hopeless continent. I mean, you know what I'm referring to, that front page from The Economist, etc. And the idea was to change the narrative, to show the world that Africa was not only about aid and poverty and misery and etc. But in order to do that, we needed to re-establish the share of voice, rebalance the share of voice. In other words, international media were mostly talking about, when they were talking about Africa, they were mostly talking about bad news. There were a lot of good news on the African continent coming from the African continent. The problem is those news never reached the international media community. So that's where I started building that press release distribution service. And basically, as you may know, news releases are mainly good news. You usually issue a news release when you are making an announcement about a new project, about opening a new office, about a new appointment. Well, those are mainly good news. And so when you create a feed of news releases, which are obviously text, but also images, also videos, and you sign agreements, redistribution agreements, like we did with Bloomberg, like Reuters, LexisNexis, Activa, etc. Well, you make sure all these good news about Africa are actually, are seen, are read, are actually made available to the international media community, and suddenly you give yourself a chance to rebalance that narrative and to show not only the international media but through the international media the overall community people outside of Africa that Africa is not only bad news, that there is amazing people in Africa, amazing initiative, that the economy is growing. So, I mean, if we do not as Africans share this information, if we do not distribute that information, if we are not making those information available to the international media, so in turn they can explain that and show that to the people outside of Africa, nobody is going to do it for us. So that's what we did. We created that press release distribution service called Africa Wire, and we are now distributing press releases for around 700 different sources, companies, institutions, diplomacy, personalities. We are the sole and only primary information provider in Africa.
I'm so glad you mentioned the image that the continent has, especially in the gaze of the media. My question, I guess, here is, what are some of the methods you guys have sort of used to shift that view?
So as a company, so there are two things you need to consider. First of all, there is the type of content we are distributing to the world, and that content we are not producing it. Those are the press release from our partners or clients. But we have been proud and lucky and very happy to be responsible to distribute some of the biggest announcement Africa has known in the recent years, because our clients are Facebook, our clients are Uber, our clients are Microsoft. So when Microsoft is opening his first data center in Africa, well, they are using APO to distribute the press release. We were proud to distribute that press release. It was a few years ago. We were proud to announce the appointment of the first CEO for Africa of Facebook. Those are a few press releases which we issued years ago, but I still remember those press releases because those press releases were making sense. We have clients like McKinsey, we have clients like PricewaterhouseCoopers and Young, which on a regular basis, you know, when you own a press release distribution service dedicated to Africa, and when you are in charge to distribute the Africa attractiveness report of Ernst Young, when you are in charge of distributing report from McKinsey, from PwC, which are in the recent years 95% of them were even if they were specific to specific industries, 95% of those data and report were amazingly positive for the continent. So when you're in charge of spreading that good news, I mean, I have to tell you that you feel really fulfilled, and you feel that you are really making a difference. When a press release issued by McKinsey office in South Africa is distributed by APU, and you a few years after, you see an article in the Financial Times, you see that CNN is talking about it, you see that BBC is talking about it, etc. Well, you really feel that you are making a change, and you are participating to changing the narrative. So that's what we do as a press release distribution service. We distribute the content of our clients, and as I said, press releases are usually mostly positive. As a company, we also have our own initiative, our own projects. We are involved in, first of all, we are the main official sponsor of Rugby Africa, which is the World Rugby African Association. So Rugby Africa is the governing body of rugby in Africa. It's a very interesting thing. A lot of people do not know that yet, but we are working on it. People need to know that rugby, which is the third biggest sport in the world. What I mean by that is that the Rugby World Cup is the third competition, the third most important competition globally after the Olympic and the football cup. And in Africa specifically, rugby is growing extremely fast. I mean, if you look at the press release from World Rugby about the fans, etc., you see that the fan base is growing extremely fast on the African continent. And the point is, the reason why I'm talking about it is that obviously rugby is not only about rugby. Rugby is a community. I mean, in Senegal, the rugby house, how they call it, is helping young girls, is teaching young girls to swim, for instance. Nobody knows that. I was in Zambia a few months ago, and in Zambia you have an amazing initiative from the Lusaka Rugby Club, where two times a week they are welcoming kids which are living in the street, and they are not only training them to play rugby and to play, etc. And I'm talking kids which are between as young as 5 to 12, etc. But also they are giving them the only shower they have in the week. They are giving them a proper meal, and they are giving them value. And when you discuss when you discuss with those kids and with the people which are taking care of them, the word which is coming all the time is family, is value, is respect. So we are involved in that, and we are showing the world that Africa is also playing rugby. We're also involved in with the Africa Woman Innovation Entrepreneurship. That's Events AWIF, which is happening in South Africa. So we are also supporting women entrepreneurship. We are also involved in with we have a program called APO Pioneers, which is dedicated to students and journalists, specifically journalism students and PR students in Africa. So we have a lot of initiatives, but they are all in everything we do. I think it's really in our DNA. We want to change the image of the continent. We want to make information available. I think 10 years ago, newsrooms like I don't want to point fingers, but a lot of newsrooms 10 years ago, it is true, if they wanted to have access to information related to Africa, mostly probably it was bad news. Mostly probably it was a United Nations report on food security or hunger or conflict or et cetera. Well, at least what we are doing is that we are making available a lot of good news. So they can decide to ignore it if they want. They can stick to their usual narrative they want. But the news are there. The good news are there. They are available all over the internet. They are available all over the biggest, largest news aggregators. I'm talking about LexisNexis. I'm talking about Factiva and a lot of others. We have close to 35 international partners which are redistributing our content. And it's not only about text. It's also image. It's also video. And as you may know, a month ago, we just signed what I believe is an amazing partnership with Getty Images, which is exactly in the same spirit, the same line. I was discussing with a friend a few days ago, and I was telling him, with Getty Images, we're going to literally change the image of Africa one image at a time. Getty Images is the leading, and by far, they don't have competitors properly. They are the leading photo company, a visual content company in the world. They are in a position of monopoly, really. And they have all the big newsroom across the world are subscriber to Getty Images. And what we have done is that we just signed a partnership with them. And through that partnership, we're going to make all our imagery content, but also the videos and also the text, also the press releases available to all those newsrooms across the world. So again, it's a huge step toward changing the narrative about Africa. And basically, the point here is that the first step to change the narrative is to make all this information available, all this positive information about Africa available, either it's text, picture, video. There is no, we don't need to fight. We are not, as a company, we are not issuing press release to say, guys, look, Africa is doing well. It's not what you think. It's going there. We're not doing that because we don't have to do it. We just gather the content of our clients and we share that with the world. It's our part in that huge process.
Now, Nicholas, I want to shine a light on before we close on African influencers, African bloggers, and smaller media companies that are sort of coming up now and may have the same mission that you have, which is to change the narrative on African businesses and then what is happening in the continent. What advice would you give to them in ensuring that they succeed in doing something quite similar to what you guys are doing?
Yeah, and just to add on that question, I would also like to find out, as the world is seeing Africa in a different light, as Africans, how are we supposed to see a different light in our own continent? And, so that the world can see the best in us, what can we also do or what can we see as the best in Africa?
Well, I'm as I said, I through that program, APO Pioneers, I'm traveling Africa and I'm giving conferences across Africa in journalism student and PR, journalism school and PR school. So I'm meeting a lot of students. And one thing which is, so PR student and journalism student, usually the last year. So I did that in Senegal. I did that in Zambia, in Uganda. I will be in South Africa quite soon, etc., Morocco, etc. And one of the things which actually strike me, and I'm answering here the question about what should we do to, what should people do, and those future influencers, because of journalists and students and PR students are maybe some future influencers. One of the things I noticed is that there is a disease, like, I mean, I'm using that word. I know it's a strong word, but I'm using that word because I want to mask the fact that it's really problematic. It's really detrimental. And that disease is that people basically, tend to undermine themselves. To undermine Africa, undermine their country, and eventually usually it's lead to say, well, poor me, you know, so what can we do? Because, you know, so usually it's just not true. I mean, it's just, and that's what I'm saying to those young people. So if you ask me what is the first thing to do, I think the first thing to do is to be proud. I think the thing to do is to be resilient, which is if there is one thing most African are in their daily life is that they are resilient. And I mean the world, I mean the history is about, as we speak, is about to do the rest. I mean, I was reading a few reports recently, and as you may know, international media, in that specific case, are starting to and analysts obviously are starting to say that they are starting to talk about recession in country like the U.S. They said that China economy is not okay. They say that Europe economy is not okay. I mean, basically. They say that Brazil is not okay at all, etc. So basically, when you hear that the U.S. economy is not okay, when you hear that Europe economy is not okay, that Asia is not okay, that Brazil is not okay, I mean, what do you hear? You hear opportunity. I mean, look at I was on a call a few days ago with the global communication of PepsiCo. As you may know, PepsiCo, which is well known for their brand PepsiCola, which is also a food company, just announced a huge investment and expansion and plan to expand across Africa. So they want to go Pan-African. And I was telling him how exciting this is. I was telling him how, when I saw that press release, PepsiCo announcing that they were arriving in Africa with the objective to go Pan-African. I told him that the last time I was so excited was when I saw the press release from another of our clients, which is the NBA. Because when you see that, when you take the example of the NBA, the NBA is amazing. You know, I we're working with them for 6 months now. So I mean you need to understand a few things about the NBA. The NBA, first of all, is a company, so it's not a sports federation. It's a company, and that company is headquartered in the U.S. obviously. And so far, that company was operating only in the U.S., meaning the only basketball league managed by ABA was based in the U.S. That's it. And so they recently announced, like a few months ago, like in January, that they will, for the first time in their history, open a basketball league outside of the U.S. So is it in Asia? Is it in Europe? Is it in Latin America? No, it's in Africa. It's in Africa. And not only you have that, but I was attending the Basketball Without Borders meeting in Dakar a few weeks ago, and I learned so many things about Africans playing for the NBA. Do you know that one Senegalese player, Gorgui Dieng, which is a kid from a small city in Senegal, he just signed one of the biggest contracts ever, $250 million. The guy literally win $1 million a week. $1 million a week. Do you know that? Do you know who won? Do you know which team won the NBA championship this year? Do you know what is the name of the team? The name of the team is the Toronto Raptors. Do you know who is the president? Do you know who is the president of the Toronto Raptors? Do you know his citizenship? He's from Nigeria. He's a Nigerian. You know? Yeah. So I mean, amazing things are happening. So an NBA is just an example. How Africa is getting bigger and bigger among the NBA. But you have also another. When you search, you find amazing stuff. I was on a call a few weeks ago with the head of contemporary art. You know, contemporary art at Sotheby's. Sotheby's is one of the biggest art auction company in the world, right? And she was telling me that African art is literally booming. So I asked, okay, what do you mean? And she said, well, what that means is that a paint which was sold maybe $500 3 years ago is now $5,000. I mean, a lot of things are happening. A lot of things are happening right now. So, I mean, what do we need to do? We just need to be proud, confident, resilient. As I said, the history is about to do all the rest. You look at the report from the IMF. Look at the report from when you discuss about investment and foreign direct investment and expansion and companies and stuff. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's quite simple. You know, some people are asking me, okay, why PepsiCo is arriving now? Why NBA is arriving now, and so many other companies. I mean, we work with 300 clients and 85% of multinational company. We work with Marriott, with Hilton. I am myself a member of the advisory board of the Africa Hotel Investment Forum. So all the hospitality group are expanding in Africa right now. Why? Well, because you just have to look at the figures provided by the World Bank and by the United Nations. According to the World Bank, by 2050, you know that figure. We all know that figure. By 2050, which is in 30 years, the population of Africa will have doubled, moving from 1.2 billion to 2.4 billion. And if you do the math, what that means is that in 2050, half of the population at least will be less than 30 years. Now, according to the United Nations, and I'm referring to the population report they issued in November 2017, By 2100, so 80 years from now, by 2100, Africa will be 40% of the whole humanity. According to the UN, by 2100, out of 100 human beings living on Earth, 40 will be African.
These are numbers I'm loving right now.
Yeah.
But Nicholas, we must cut you a bit short. Running a little over time, right? And then how can people get a hold of APO Group or anything else that you're up to?
Well, we have a website. I mean, you just brought APO Group on the internet and you're going to find us, or you brought my name, or you can follow me on Twitter, which is my Twitter account is APO Founder, because as you may know, I'm the founder of the company, so APO, Alpha Papa Oscar, APO Founder. And we are everywhere. We are on LinkedIn, we are on Facebook, we are, so it's quite easy to find us, really.
Yeah, perfect. We'll do so. Thank you so much again, Nicholas, and enjoy your day.
Perfect. Thank you.